Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. The very thing you've been longing for, or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you, or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that he will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip inside his head, mind, and soul, and listen to this week's comments from Les Visible.
Welcome, dear friends and sundry, to Dog Poet Transmitting. Greetings are extended via your broadcast medium from the Arcturian Brotherhood and the Sirius Cluster. The world we knew is no longer the world we know. We do not know the world we know because we do not know it. It is more like a perception of the shine upon a beckoning posterior rather than the posterior itself. It is the beads of anticipation shimmering in the magic light of filters and frames that bring something more to the whole effect than a backdrop of the effect itself. As always, it is anticipation that gives the trembling frenzy to it all, and not the item or the acquisition of it. What's a dog going to do when it catches its tail or the car it is chasing? It's all hollow and empty, and the real bliss is in a perpetual and sustained resident comfort in the emptiness. To what nothing is the triumph of the ages. Window dressing is just that. The pastries in the baker's showcase seem to promise so many satiations, but satisfaction has gone missing. It is there to be found on the milk cartons of the world, but not in the visceral center of the belly of our being. This inevitably leads me to the consideration and contemplation of the ineffable. It is the ineffable that fills up all those empty spaces. It is what changes us from a hollow space of longing into a cornucopia. As I wander the commercial streets of this vanishing material empire, on those rare occasions when I do, I often find myself outside a bakery, sometimes an upscale candy shop, with all those varieties of sweets, only some of which get eaten. Some of them eat you. I stand there looking at the luring and sometimes leering comestibles and inhale the atmosphere of possibility, the atmosphere of conjoining the item with my taste buds in some momentary tantric union. I know it will do what it does in that short time and then be gone for assimilation at some point in the system of my being, so I look and experience the whole of it without ever having to experience it. And then I move on and I discover the whole world is a shop window of some type or order, and they all promise and they all disappoint. What surprises me is how long it takes for this to dawn on the participants. They just do it over and over every day, expecting that one of these days it will go on forever. Only one thing goes on forever, and that is the ineffable. Only the ineffable satisfies beyond the moment of initial experience, and you won't find the ineffable in a shop window. You will only find those things you can put a price on. The ineffable is priceless, and you will find the ineffable in your heart. It takes some amount of common labor, that is to be sure. You wind up as a pedestrian ditch digger, a man with a shovel, a swinging pickaxe, trying to break through the hard crust of both blindness and denial. You might go at it like a dilettante or some version of a weekend warrior. You put in an hour or two a day, once or twice a week, on the piano or on the guitar, or yourself, And you expect far more impressive results than you actually get. You're either on it all the time or most of the time, or you're only on it for so long as it takes for even this small amount of industry to be shanghaied into something else. I make no claims of exceptionalism for myself in these disciplines or lack of discipline. I've had my share of half measures, occasional devotions to an expertise which, like that mechanical rabbit, is never caught by the hounds. Only with this exceptionalism of the ineffable do you catch or get caught by anything, except it won't be a mechanical rabbit. There is no nourishment or sustenance that can be gained from the possession of the mechanical rabbit. But oh my, it sure promises the world. How did the initiate put it? What profits it a man to gain the whole world and to lose his only soul? Our fundamental problem is that we misidentify what we are in the pursuit of. Even when we catch it, it is not the thing we seek. Whatever that thing might be, it must be something that elevates us to a place of more panoramic vision. We cannot see or hear or touch the greater truth or object of metaphysical desire. It has to touch or hear or see us. It is at that point that the process enters into the real as it departs from the artificial mythos of the unreal. You see it everywhere these days. People who believe that they are going to get whatever it is they think they want to get to or of under their own power. I don't know what the provenance of this is. I don't understand how people think they can get away with something like this done on their own, given that they came out of nowhere that they have any memory of and are headed to a similar result at the other end. I know I repeat this over and over and over, but for me it is one of the most critical understandings that anyone can come to. If you get this, it will get you. If you do not get it, you will flounder about until you can no longer even flounder. This world is filled with the ambitious and confused, and often enough they are representatives of both states of awareness simultaneously. I'm lucky in this regard. The ineffable has proven it to me over and over. We tend to say over and over and over and over and over again here and elsewhere. That is due to the cyclicity of it all. It repeats again and again, and it does so to show us that we are trapped in a cyclicity instead of moving in a spiral. Love is the foundation stone of all things. It is not by accident that Christ said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." He said this because it is the keynote reality of every sincere ambition and aspiration that one can be engaged in. All power comes from the One, and therefore everything is accomplished by the One. Our sole duty is to get out of the way. We accomplish everything by being absolutely passive to the passage of the One through our being. The same way that we come to everlasting bliss by allowing the unobstructed infusion of the One into every particle of our being. Some might argue with the conclusions I come to, but I suggest they read the works of all the greater oracles of the last thousands of years and see if they do not conclude very much what is being said here. I do not say these things because I came across them in the writings of those long ago, before I arrived back here on this occasion, these commentators on life. I say these things because I have had them proven on my being. It is what it is, especially when it is what it is. In the Hindu tradition, there's a mantra which is goes, Om Tat Sat. As Paramahansa Yogananda said, the outward manifestation of the omnipresent Christ consciousness, the Tat aspect of God, its witness is Om, the Word or Holy Ghost. This Om is the invisible divine power, the only doer, the sole causative and activating force that upholds all creation through vibration. Om, the Word, is the creative vibration that externalizes all creation. Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva represents the triune expression of God in the aspect of Tat, or Sun, the Christ consciousness immanent in vibratory creation. The Shaktis, energies, or the consorts of the Trinity are the symbols of Om, or the Holy Ghost, the sole causative force that upholds the cosmos through vibration. What Om Tat Sat means, basically, is that I am that I am. And you will find this said in variations upon the theme, pretty much coming out in translation is the same thing everywhere you come across it, in every tradition, where some avatar lit up the room of existence for whatever time they passed through on their way to saying it. This is the key to the Rosetta Stone of all metaphysical language, except for those satanic perversions that always accompany the truth, the way that shadows are a reflex expression of the light as it moves. My dear friends, though I have not met the majority of you, and quite possibly will not in this brief passage through this veil of tears, I want you to know I love you. I really do. I would never be able to rise to the occasion each day without your support and agreement with what gets said. It is that peculiar resonance that, well, works in both directions that allows the power to manifest in those better presentations that speak to the higher reach of the best of what we contain within. It all comes out of the ineffable and is guided by the ineffable, maintained by the ineffable, and transformed by the ineffable at the given moment. I've read a great many Western philosophers. As I pass through this dimension, in this particular pass, and well, they're all largely full of it. Somehow, either due to vanity or arrogance, they imagine they have made some comprehensive and intellectual analysis of what is. They have not. All they have done is to dress themselves up in a pink tutu, riding on a skateboard down their version of Broadway under the searching lights of their peers. Oh, well, it's different in the East than it is in the West. Very often in the East, they know what they are talking about, or at least have the good grace to admit that they do not. In the West, it's a cycling circle jerk as they prance about in front of their peers and everyone has some white wine and cheese and tell each other how fabulous they are. You haven't changed the world in any meaningful way when all that you have produced is only understood in the limited circles of peacocks like yourself. I laugh sometimes at this. Sometimes I weep without the accompaniment of tears. I weep about the wasted time and effort of so many poseurs who somehow have come to believe that their definitions of the light make them equal to the light. It does not. One must have a proper perspective of their place in the midst. We might be the crown of creation, but that is all dependent on what we are the habitation of. What dwells in us gives the proof to our value in the scheme of things. One might say that everything is the face of the Almighty, but from that which is, well, okay, from that which is completely masked to that which is most clearly revealed. We either are the beneficiaries of having all the dross burned away, or we block the light. In times of materialism, conformity demands that the light be blocked in order to fit in with the marching ranks on Perdition Road. Never have the stakes been higher than they are now. It should be clear to anyone capable of enough of being objective enough to see that this is true. The greater mass of the population is either chasing after the dazzling dust magnets of temporary pleasure or is in a life and death struggle to feed themselves because their world is a plunder ground for bankers and corporate gang rape agendas. One should be able to see that there is some form of invisible gambling casino where the odds are being laid for who and how many have made their eyes the torchlight of their hearts and how many are rampaging after the glitter that falls like storms of confetti upon their vision. It seems to always come down to, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I know how hard it is, my friends. We seem to be all alone in our quest, yet we are never less alone than we are now. If faith is the substance of things unseen, then it can be said that that upon which we base our faith is unseen but ubiquitously present. We must have that blessed assurance wherein our hearts are certain of what we cannot see. Quite often we mention faith, certitude, and determination. These are components of one of the pillars of Islam and are identified by similar descriptors in every other legitimate tradition. We are the church. We are the adytum. We are that which is meant to be rendered into the temple of residence of the All-High. Achieve this, and there is nothing left to seek after. What does it say in the Bible? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all else will be added unto you. I mean, that's pretty clear, isn't it? That seemed fairly clear to me. I mean, various times when I have read Scripture, I don't read it that much anymore. I tend to read what's written on my heart these days. But very often when I read it, I look at it and I go, well, of course this is true. But then there's a cognitive disconnect that comes in where we don't live up to it. We don't accept it in a visceral and complete way and live it as if it were the basis and foundation of our existence, period. Well, that's just me as far as that goes right here, and it may well be you too as far as it goes there. Anyway, okay, my friends. We've come to the end of another broadcast, and we will see you next week if there is one. In the meantime, try with all your heart and mind to remain in a state of constant remembrance of the indwelling power of the limitless light. That said, greetings, my dear friend Lord Ganesh. Hare Krishna. Bismillah Irrahman Irrahim. Om Amitabha. Hail, Lord Jesus Christ. Much love, Lady Nature. Carry on, Baha'u'llah. Aloha and Aroo! Gotta work on those Aroos. God bless you all.
He's strong and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. Coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. You can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. And no one stays anonymous when he gets you in his sights. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth. He's bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. He's here. Mr. Apocalypse is here.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.